reflections. How many of you know what I mean by reflections? Everybody knows the word reflections, right? The title of our sermon tonight is The Reflections of Christ in You. A lot of people are surprised when we are giving our testimonies and they ask us, what kind of people you have in heaven? Do they have black people in heaven? Do they have white people in heaven? I said, no. So who is in heaven? I said, God's people. Yeah, but are they black, white? This is the way that we think. But when we are in heaven, at least when I was in heaven both times, I never saw a white man, never saw a black man. They all had a skin color that was very, very different. It's blessings coming from above. Don't you worry. It's blessing coming from above. So what is the skin color of people in heaven? Let's go to Exodus 34, verse 29 and 30. Exodus 34, 29 and 30. It showers of blessing. We can pray through the night. That's all right. I want you to read it with me. Now, it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that. So, when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the reflection of God was upon Moses. And because God's reflection was upon Moses, Moses' skin shone. Are we together so far? So when you get to have, what is your skin color? God's color. It ain't black. It ain't white. It ain't brown. It shines like the skin of God. And you know, many people already experienced this thing here. You say, well, preacher, you know, I don't kind of agree with you. That's okay. That's okay. I still love you anyway. The reflections of Christ in you. If when Moses was in the presence of God, and he spent that amount of time in God's presence, if when he came down from the mountain, his skin was shining, imagine living with God throughout eternity and absorbing all that glory. You say, preacher, I hear what you say. It's really nice, but, you know, there's no buts and whats here. Let me tell you something else. Let's go real quick to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perish, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should. When you come to Christ, that is a light that shines upon you. And that is the light of the gospel. When you come to Christ, there is a changing that takes place in you. And Jews start reflecting Jesus. Let me tell you this. It is impossible for you to come to Christ, to be in Christ's presence, and be the same way that you were before. Let me take you. I'm going to just paraphrase here because it's going to be a long scripture. One day, Jesus told his disciples, okay, boys, y'all wait down here. That's in Luke 17. And we're going to go up. Peter, James, John, let's go. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Jesus went up with the three. You remember the story, right? Jesus told the three, you guys tarry here while I'll go a little yonder and pray. And the Bible says that the three guys pick up a stone and everybody lay down. Jesus went a little bit further. And when he gets there, all of the sudden comes Moses. The guy who had the shining skin just for spending 40 days in God's presence. He comes down and Elijah comes along with him. And they were talking. And the Bible say that he was transfigurated. And what that means, his skin tone changed. His garments were white as the snow, and his face was like the sun. Everything was bright around him. Did you know that you and I are supposed to have the same radiance? Because you and I are in the presence of Jesus Christ, who in turns is sitting down at the right hand of the Father. So that glory that shines out of the throne is already on Jesus' skin and supposed to rub on us. Well, preacher, this is wishful thinking. No, it is not. You want to see something? Brother, can you give me Isaiah 60, verse 1? And let's try the never-inspired version on this one. Listen to this. What does it say? Arise. You and I have been called to reflect Christ. You and I have been called to shine the glory of God in our lives. Folks, I don't know if you're getting this. We're supposed to be on the top of our game 24/7. Why do you say that? Let's go to Romans 8, 16 and 17. Did you remember that when you were growing up and your daddy went out and bought something for your bigger brother and he didn't got one and you didn't get the toy just like your big brother got, that you went to daddy and said, Daddy, why didn't you get me one? I'm going to buy him first and then I'll get you one. Why? Why can he get and I can't get it? Remember that? If he gets one, I'm supposed to get one too. I'm your son too. We have been born with that inheritance, inherited thing that if my brother get, I'm supposed to get one too. I never saw a child that saw the bigger brother or this younger brother get a toy and they don't get one. Oh, thank you, Dad. If you got for him, it's good. Just buy for him. It never happens. If my big brother has one, my little brother has one, I'm supposed to have one too. But yet, when it comes to the things of God, we do not have that same behavior. Listen to Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are? Children of God. Well, wait a minute. We are children of God. Is that right? Jesus was called what? The Son Was that right? Jesus was called the Son of God. We are the children of God. So Jesus is big brother. Isn't that right? Yeah. On the Mount of Transfiguration, his skin changed. Isn't that right? How come we're not complaining to the Father that our skin is not changing like Jesus' skin? Can we do that? Absolutely. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. You have a right to the same glory that Jesus Christ had. You can claim and ask the Father to have the same light shining upon you. Somebody said, but preacher, why do I want this? When you have that light of God shine in you, darkness cannot stand you. Demons cannot stand around. And you know what? Sickness cannot stick to you because you got the glory of God shining through your pores. The reflections of Christ in you. Every believer is identified with Christ. And let's see a few things here that you're identified with. Number one, not only the glory of God supposed to shine upon you, not only the radiance of God supposed to shine upon our lives. Everything that Jesus is entitled to, so are you. Now, there are a few steps that we gotta take. We need to identify ourselves with him in his death. Let's go to Romans 6, 3. What does it say? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized in his death. I don't like that. I don't want to die. You will one way or the other. Anyway, you will do one day. So what is the advantage then of being baptized in Christ? You're dead for the affairs of the world. Now, how many times have you heard in the news that a doctor diagnosed a dead man with any kind of sickness? Are we together here? The only way that you can be diagnosed with a cancer is when you're alive. Isn't that right? But if you are dead in Christ Jesus, guess what? Cancer cannot stick to you. So we better be dead with Jesus, isn't that? If we are dead, cancer cannot stick to dead people. They're already dead. Are with me here? Let's go quickly to Galatians 2:20. We are a reflection of Christ in the fact that we are dead. We identify ourselves with him through baptism. Listen to this. Let's read it. I have been crucified. It's no longer I. Reach out to somebody. Say, how are you doing, dead one? You're dead for these affairs of this world. Well, that may not have been very well. Maybe you should say, how are you doing, crucified one? You are crucified with Christ. Now, from this point forth, when you made a commitment to come to Christ and you gave your life to Jesus, the old you, bam, hanged on the cross. So it ain't you anymore living. From that point forth, because you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, Christ will start living through you. And what kind of life do I live? What kind of life do I live? Faith. Faith life. I spoke yesterday about the fundamental elements of faith. That's what I wanted to speak about tonight, but the Holy Spirit turned things around. No. You're going to talk about faith this morning. And little did I know, there was about 14 people here that needed to hear the sermon. The reflection of Jesus supposed to be in our lives as we identify ourselves with him in his death. By the moment that you came to Christ, you made a decision to follow Christ, you as yourself, as you know yourself, are dead. The Spirit of God starts living within you. And from that point forth, life supposed to be a life of faith in the Son of God. Let me tell you this. Make it easy for you to understand. We will need 12 windows to the new building. The first estimate that came was 17,900 blah, 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 blah. Whew, that's quite some money for some windows here. And it's all installed and this and blah, blah, blah. Okay. You know the girls are praying here all the time, right? Let's pray for this thing here. This is Jesus' house. So somebody has to give in somewhere here because it's too expensive window. So the girls prayed. I prayed in my office. Got some prayer partners that are praying with us. Send the thing back to the factory. Send our chief engineer, the general contractor, with the paper back to the factory. I got the invoice this morning. $4,700. We're talking about $13,200 less. You know why? The life that we now live, we live by faith.
Hallelujah.
And the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
Why would I give 17,000 blah, 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 plus taxes? No, we don't pay taxes. This is God's house. We don't pay taxes. Why should I throw away almost $14,000? Guess what? That very same money I'm going to use to pay the workers to put the frame on the interior of the building. Beloved, the reflection of Christ in you, the reflection of Christ in me, supposed to produce results. It's supposed to be different from the other people out there. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The reflection of Christ in you and I supposed to produce results. Our lives must be different from the life of the people out there. Let's read it. If then you were raised with Christ, where Christ is, once you came to Jesus, you and I are not supposed to be thinking about ourselves anymore because we are dead. Our life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Amen. How important is that? Do you think that the devil is stupid enough to try to pinch Jesus and pass around to give you cancer? Somebody said, but preacher, why do we have so many people in the church that has cancer? I don't know. Maybe they ain't hiding yet in Christ Jesus. Maybe they ain't dead yet for the flesh. Maybe they haven't been crucified. Maybe they're still thinking a lot about the stuff down here. But you and I, followers of Christ, we are mingling, put it this way, with Christ Jesus. And when that takes place, we are still in the world, but we're not from the world. Our focus is on the things from above. You know, I told God, Lord, I wish so much, and I'm going to pursue this, that by the end of this year, I'm going to walk to some places, people are going to be healed by my shadow. Hallelujah. Is that possible? Yes. If Peter did, why can't I? He was a Jew, so am I. He was 53, so am I. He was dark-skinned, so am I. He believed in Jesus, so do I. You know, I think the problem with us, we give too little credit to God and what God can do. This little boy, Jordan, he heard that Jesus would take people on a tour to heaven in 2013. And he believed and Jesus took him. Why can't Jesus take you? I don't know. Maybe you're not hungry enough. You know? But the boy said, you know what, I want that. And he said, okay, come on up. And he took the boy up. And he had a tour of heaven. I told her, I want him to give a testimony. She said, he's very shy. Let me talk to him. Next time, bring him. I want to talk to him. You know, it would be awesome if he would give you the testimony. Folks, the reflections of Christ in us supposed to lead us automatically to focus on the things of above, up above. This is why it doesn't matter who is in the White House. Doesn't matter who is the Secretary Treasurer. Doesn't matter what they do in D.C. We're just passing by. We've been told to arise and shine because the light of God is shining upon us. So let's make the best out of it. Let's stop whining and complaining, fussing and cussing, and let the light of God shine through our bodies. We're supposed to be identified with Christ also in his burial. Can you give me Romans 6:4? Why are you talking about burial? You just spoke about death, now you're talking about burial. I'll tell you why. Let's read first. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him, how? That just as Christ was raised from the dead by here's how that works. You came to Jesus and took Jesus as your personal Savior, right? You went through baptism lessons. You're with me here. The time came, you were taken into water. One of the things that you will learn on your baptism class is that baptism is a symbol of death to the affairs of the world. Baptism means you telling the world, hey, world, hey, devil, I'm done. I'm going to go down this water. And by the time I go, I'm going to bury the old me in there. And when I come out, I have made a choice. I have my mind made up. I'm going to go with Jesus all the way. And I'm going to strive to live in newness of life. This is why I say that when they say we're going to have baptism class and those who had a joke baptism can be baptized. You say, what is a joke baptism? Some water sprinkled on your head. It's a joke. No wonder there ain't much transformation in their lives. So why is it important for me to identify with his burial? Because once you're dead for the old life, there is room for the new life in Christ Jesus. You can walk in newness of life. If you understand that you are going through that baptism celebration because you are giving up your old way of living and you're going to fight with yourself as much as you can to live the life that Jesus wants to live through you, your life's going to be completely changed. You know, my pastor never knew that I smoked to this very day. 3 packs a day. On that night, I gave my life to Jesus. By the time I got out of that church, cigarettes stunk in my nose. And I used to use 3 packs a day. That's 60 cigarettes. I would walk around with a thermal bottle of coffee. You finish your cigarette, a shot of coffee. But you know, I didn't need any special prayer for me to stop smoking. On the moment that I understood the message of the gospel, I said, that's it. It's over. I want this that Jesus have. And you know what? Nobody in my congregation ever knew that I ever smoked. Because cigarette stunk in my nose. Life was completely changed. When you identify yourself with him, by the moment that you go inside that water and you come back, you're supposed to be living glory life. Say what? Yeah, it says here, just as Christ was raised from the dead by... So in other words, that light that shines upon you, that glory, has power to bring people back from the dead. Did you see that? That very glory that brought him back from the dead is the glory that is shining upon us. Arise and shine. For thy light have come, and the glory of God shines upon you. What you're saying then? When we identify ourselves in his burial, glory living start taking place. Now somebody give me one of the advantages of glory living, besides being able to raise people from the dead. Give me another advantage. Walking in health, that's good, yes. Sickness cannot attach to a glorious body. Who? Ultimate peace. Boldness. Have favor. But nobody said the most important one. That's true, that too, but there's another one that everybody's going to like. Your bank account is going to be always filled. What? Glory living will have your bank account always filled. What is that in the Bible? I'll tell you right, that's Philippians 4:8. My God shall supply all my needs according to where? What is the riches of God? In glory. If you have gone to that point to be buried with Christ, the glory of God not only is going to bring your body back to life, but you're going to live in wealth and prosperity. My, you're not getting it. That's okay. It's going to come to you. We're supposed to identify ourselves with him. And his resurrection. Romans 6:5. The reflection of Jesus' resurrection is supposed to be present in our lives. What does it say? For if we have been in the likeness of his death, if you get the one side, you're going to get the other. It doesn't stop there. Brother, just scroll down and double click on verse 8. Watch this. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe. Wait, don't go away. Scroll down a little bit more, brother. Give me verse 11. Watch this. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is it that you're trying to say? We're supposed to be identified in his resurrection. When you identify yourself with his resurrection, you lose the desire to sin. Yes. So you say, I'm not going to sin anymore? Nobody says you're not going to sin anymore. Hopefully not. But the desire, the stinginess, you know, the sting to sin is no longer there. Because the old you is dead. Amen. You know, I don't go to nightclubs. Because Harry Brown, or anybody in the church says, Pastor, you cannot go to a nightclub. You're the pastor. No. Or because Marge is going to be picking on me. No. It's just I don't feel like going to nightclubs anymore. That is part of the past. I don't have the desire to go to nightclubs. Does it make sense? When you identify yourself with Jesus and his resurrection, you don't have the desire to sin. When you let Christ's reflections on you, you will be identified with him in his power. Let's go to Ephesians 1:19. Ephesians 1:19 and 20. Identified with him in his power. Let's read it. And what is the Let's stop right here. Wait a minute. What is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards? Did you realize that there is an exceeding great power coming your way? I know that. So why then can you pray for me? The devil is messing up with me, Pastor. Nonsense. As I said yesterday, everybody has faith. The problem is not having lack of faith. The problem is the object of your faith. And when the object of your faith fails, it is hard for you to believe in anything related to the object of your faith. And the greatest sin that the church has today is they have faith in faith. The problem is that faith in itself is not the object. The object of our faith is God. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, have faith in the preacher. Have faith in God. But because we've got the thing all messed up due to our lack of knowledge, we have faith in faith, and then when the faith fails, we fail to believe in anything else related to faith because we do not understand the object of our faith. Now, there is a greatness, a exceeding greatness of his power towards you who believe. Now, he goes on to say, according to the which he worked in Christ Jesus, when he raised him, my Lord. What? This is always confused, preacher. I could never understand this. Here's how it works. When you came into the understanding, get here. It doesn't speak about understanding. No, because it starts on verse 15. I pray, Paul says, that the eyes of your understanding may be open, that you may comprehend what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you, lack of understanding. Who believe? What kind of power is this? The very same power that brought Jesus Christ from the dead. That power is working in you. The very same power that set Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father is the same power working in you. And he says that we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. That very same power that took Jesus to heaven will take you to heaven too. I am the defender of the idea that every Christian should go at least one time to heaven before they die. Why? So you don't get uncomfortable when you get there. If you get too cozy down here, you may feel uncomfortable when you get up there. Some people don't like to sing. Is that right? What about you going to be walking down the street, Abraham passed? Hey, Abe, praise the Lord. And all the kids, praise the Lord. And then all the flowers, praise the Lord. My goodness, so much praise the Lord. You better get used to it. Because it's going to be church 24 hours in heaven. And that's not going to be only on Sundays. People that comes to church only once a week or twice is going to be in real trouble in heaven. Because it's church every day. And for how long? Forever. And forever is a long, 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 long time. That very power that brought Jesus back from the dead, set him at the right side of the Father, is working towards you to bring you back from the dead deeds and to bring you up to where God is, so you can start looking at life the same way God does. You don't see here only. You are up there, you see the whole picture. December the 3rd, I was standing on that ground. Somebody came and looked. What are you wondering, preacher? I asked the person, what do you see here? A piece of ground. What? What do you see? A beautiful building here. There's no building here. I said, I know. But your eyes can see it. I'm not looking at this ground here. I'm looking at the building that's going to sit down in there. And this beloved saint asked me, and you mean to tell that this little things over that side is our building? But yep. Don't believe it. That's your problem. Doesn't matter. Still love you anyway. This person said, there is no way that sitting on that floor is enough material to build a 6,600 square feet building. I said, you guys will see it. December 23rd, the building is up. Person come to me on Sunday. Oh, my G. I am so sorry, preacher. It looks like a barn. I said, on your eyes. You haven't seen the finished product of this thing here. And I told him, on the day that we're going to inaugurate, you're going to freak out when you walk inside. Oh, my God. I said, yes. When you're sitting on the heavenly places with Jesus, you don't see the here and now. You see the whole picture. And you can rejoice in what God is doing. When Christ reflects in you, you are entitled to have the same stuff that Christ has. Did you know that? Let's go to Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. Let's read. In him also we have taught your neighbor and say, you got an inheritance. Even if your parents didn't leave nothing to you, you got some serious inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trust in Christ should be the praise of his glory. God has an inheritance for you, and it is so good that you can't help yourself but to praise and glory him and glorify him. You know, folks, I wish there would be an easier way for me to put this. Y'all would be shouting hallelujah right now. If you could just grasp the concept. When the reflections of Jesus is in you, you ain't going to be driving down the street an old jalopy about to fall apart. When the reflections of Jesus, I'm not talking about your car, it's really nice. It's really nice. That's historic. I'm not talking about your car. That's a really nice.
I didn't think he was paying attention.
But you know, many people, they claim to be that, to have that fellowship with God, but their life shows something different. You've got an inheritance. And what has happened, what has to happen for you to get an inheritance? When you have an inheritance, what needs to happen for you to put your hands on that inheritance? Say what?
Somebody
has to die for you to get your inheritance, right? Okay, let's analyze here. In him who? Jesus. Also, we have obtained an inheritance. So if in Jesus we have obtained an inheritance, and if in order for us to get our inheritance, somebody has to die, did Jesus die?
Yes.
So how come y'all don't have your inheritance? I guess we never thought things this way, right? And we never claimed it, right? Are you with me here? When the reflections of Christ is in you, all that Jesus has, you have it too. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I never heard in the Bible that Jesus lived in misery, did he? You're not supposed to either. As far as I can remember, Jesus was never sick, was he? You're not supposed to either. As far as I remember, Jesus bossed around every demon that came around. Is that right? You're supposed to do the same. Jesus rose dead people from the dead, didn't he? You're supposed to do the same. Jesus healed people, sick people, didn't he? Set people free, right? If somebody has to die for you to get that inheritance, he's already dead. So what's happening? You're not using your inheritance. Because you fail to realize that the reflections of Christ is right here and supposed to be shining through you. Why, preacher, many of us don't have this? I don't think that in this church we have this problem. But I'll tell you, the church down the street, this thing does not shine because the devil has not allowed that to happen. Because these folks have not understand yet who they are in Christ Jesus. Well, I think that's so strange. You say that other church people are with demons. I said the devil has blinded them. You want me to prove? Let's go to Revelation 20, verse 4. Let's read it. And I saw, and they,
and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the
People were willing to pay the price, the ultimate price, to enjoy that inheritance with Jesus. And you say, I thought you say you're going to show me that the devil don't want them to have this inheritance. That's right. Let's go back now to 2 Corinthians 4, 2 to 4. At this time, I want the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That makes it very easy. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2 through 4. Let's read it. Instead, we have renounced shameful secret things, not walking in deceit or distorting God's message. But in God's sight, we commend ourselves to every person's conscience by an open display of truth. But if, in fact, our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Regarding them, the God of this age has so they cannot see and sad to say there's many people in the church that just never passed the point of had believing. It never penetrated the heart. People have had has a hard time believing on this. I don't believe it. I mean, I think this is too harsh. Well, take it on Jesus. Jesus said that the sower went out and threw seeds, isn't that right? One of them fell along the way. And the birds, the fowl of the air, came and ate it up. The disciples, what do you mean by birds of the air? The seed is planted. Satan comes and takes it up. So what you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying here tonight is this, folks. The reflections of Christ in you supposed to make you different, special. Your neighbor ought to go nuts. What is it, this woman, there's something different about her. This is how it's supposed to be. This guy, something weird about him. What is it? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. But the devil don't want people to get the light. He doesn't want the people to see the light of the gospel of glory of Christ. So what you saying, preacher? Next week, I want to take you in a journey, now that you heard what you heard. And I want to reprogram you about the way that you think of yourself. Despite of the fact that you may not have a doctorate program or a doctorate degree, you are one of the most influential persons on planet Earth. Did you know that? That's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. Brother Harry, real quick, give me Matthew 5:14. Stop thinking of you as maggot. The lousy spies Moses sent 12 spies to Canaan, Joshua and Caleb and 10 others. And when they got to Canaan, they got some grapes that four men had to take a piece of wood to carry those big grapes. Now, I'm thinking maybe each grape should be like a coconut or like an orange for four men to have to carry this thing. You know what I mean? Two men were saved. Two men saw things through the prism of God. Two men knew who they were in Christ Jesus. Two men knew their God, but the other 10 didn't. Oh, the land is good, all right, but the sons of Enoch, they are like 8 feet tall. We saw ourselves before them like grasshoppers. Are you with me here? We need to start wising up and understand that when Christ's reflection is in us, it doesn't matter what your college degree is. It doesn't matter if you don't have a college degree. Did you know that Hudson Taylor went only to Moody had only sixth grade? Did anybody listen to what I said? Moody. Yeah. D.L. Moody. He had only sixth grade. And there's a university today, Moody University, is that right? There's a credit institution that grades and downgrade and upgrade countries in the world. What's the name of it? Moody Institute. A sixth grade dude caused such a paranoia. So, when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you are significant. And here it says, you are a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Reach out to somebody and say, how you doing, lady? Doesn't it say that you are the light of the world?
Yeah.
So what that means, that wherever you go, things got to change. Darkness has to disappear. There is only white people there. It's only rich people. It's only black people. Nonsense. You are the light. And when you get there, darkness has to go. I went to do a funeral recently, and when I got out of the car, Jesus said, take over. To what? Take over. Well, take charge. Take charge. Marsha looked at me and said, what? Nothing. Take charge. I let her walk ahead of me, and I told her, what did you say? People looking at me, is this dude is crazy. He's talking to himself. They don't know what's going on here. The Lord said, take charge. Okay? Sweet Jesus, when we walk into that funeral home, everybody. Okay. Now I got it. We took charge and we delivered. And some people, after the funeral, say they never heard the gospel in such a way. Why? We are the light. And things has to change. But I know some Christians that when they come in the middle of the thugs, they are treated like they were one of the thugs. It's all about somebody, there's a Christian there. What? There's a Christian there. Which one of them? You are the light. Make sure that you keep in mind you're supposed to shine. And this is why I tell you. I'm driving the old cars. I'm going to be shining a brand new car, baby. Why? My Father gave me an inheritance. And somebody already died. You're not getting it. You are the light. Let Christ reflect his light on you. You want to see another mistake people do? Give me the verse before, brother. Just scroll up and give me 5:13. Let's read it. You are. I want you to reach your neighbor and say, how are you doing, Saudi? What is the purpose of salt? Preserve. And brings forth taste. Just cook some food. Cook some kitchen. You can put all kind of things inside. If there's no salt. Yeah. But as soon you take a little bit salt and you put it in. Isn't that right? So what do you mean when he says you are the salt of the earth? You're supposed to bring a taste to the place where you come. Are we together here? You're supposed to bring taste to the ambiance, to the ambient. You're supposed to bring light. You're supposed to bring taste. You're supposed to preserve sanity. Whatever you are. Recently, I had a brother come and tell me, "Preacher, I'm suffering persecution on my job. There's persecution all side." I said, it's bad, brother. It's bad. I said, it's bad for you. What do you mean? I said, you lost your flavor. Say what? You didn't understand what I said. I said, I did. What did I say? That you're suffering persecution. Everybody's speaking on you at work. Is that right? Yes. And you say, what? I said, you lost your flavor. What do you mean I lost my flavor? I took him here. If the salt loses its flavors, it's then good for? But to? Is your coworker giving you a hard time? Restore the flavor. Walk in that place. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. What? I'm going to be fired. Great. You have enough, you know, things to sue the company, be retired for the rest of your life? Will you have enough to trust in God for a better job and bigger paycheck? Plain and simple. So you meant to say that those teachers that are speaking on me, what do I do? You're the salt. You're supposed to preserve sanity on your workplace. You come to your workplace, in the name of Jesus, I command all you demons, get out. Get out of here, because I'm here right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah. This place is sanctified while I'm here, because I'm the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. So get out, all of you. You take charge. You will speak the word. And then watch out. What's wrong with her today? I don't know. Praise the Lord. And you continue. Take charge. You're the salt. Don't bend and be trampled by people. Peter said, if you're messed up and you are punished, you have no reason to complain. But if for Christ's sake you're persecuted, blessed are you. Huh? Because the Spirit of glory rests upon you. You gotta change the way that you think. And I'm going to reprogram yourself. Say with me, I am the light of the world. I'm supposed to bring light wherever I go. I am the salt of the earth. I'm supposed to keep balance. Wherever I go. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll continue next week. Huh? Praise the Lord. I'm having fun. I have yet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 38 statements to reprogram your way of thinking. You are a reflection of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? Just a moment. Let's have a quick prayer and then we're going to go there. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that your word may find places in our heart. Help us to understand that we are no longer living for ourselves. We are dead. And the life that we live by faith in you, the Son of God. And as such, help us to understand that we are not inferior to anybody. It's the other way around. We are the light of the world. And help us to take charge, to bring balance, taste to every place where we go, so that other people may see you in us. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's collect an offering tonight. Yes, sister.